This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ما بعد اليوم 29 من شهر رجب 1445 الموافق لعشرة من شهر فبراير 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك بلوغ المرام. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So inshallah today we continue from where we stopped last درس, and if I'm not wrong we were supposed to be dealing with the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar and القنفذ. يقول وعن ابن عمر أنه سئل عن القنفذ فقال لا أجد قل لا أجد فيما أوحي إلي محرما على طائم يطعمه الآية. فقال الشيخ عنده سمعت أبا هريرة يقول ذكر عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال إنها خبيثة من الخبائث. فقال ابن عمر إن كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال هذا فهو كما قال إن كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال هذا فهو كما قال. This hadith is weak narration collected by Abu Dawood and Imam Ahmad. It means that Abdullah ibn Umar was asked about al-qunfuz. Qunfuz, I think the English name is hedgehog. Hedgehog, yeah. One of the funniest names I found is this hedgehog. The first time I heard kids saying hedgehog, I thought this is just a cartoon thing. But anyway, so they asked him about this animal. So he said, لا أجد فيما أوحي إلي محرما على طائم يطعمه. I've never found anything that Allah among that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to me, which is haram, except those mentioned in this ayah. So somebody, a sheikh next to him, an old man, told him, سمعت أبا هريرة يقول, but I heard Abu Huraira saying that ذكر عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, and قنفذ was mentioned in the presence of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, فقال إنها خبيثة من الخبائث. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم called it خبيث. خبيث ما تستخبثه النفوس. Anything that the soul find it disgusting. Things which are found disgusting culturally amongst the vast majority of the people. Not everyone. Yeah, because you have some things which you find disgusting, others don't find it disgusting. Yeah, they eat it, but usually, like cockroaches. I think with the exception of Bani Fulan, the rest of the humanity, they don't eat cockroaches. Rats, snakes. You get it? Illa qawmun, qawman dhakarahum Ibn Uthaymeen. Madhan dhakarahum, yaqul faqat qawman. These people, they eat everything. He said, ma fi shay naja minhum illa hashara wahida. Ju'lan? I don't know the English name, but there is one insect that go and gather the poop of the animal, and make it a ball and keep on pushing. Yeah. What is the name?
Scarab. Scarab beetle, yeah.
There's a beetle. That's
the elephant poop, right?
Elephant. The camels and cows and, okay. So this is the only animal, this is the only insect those guys don't eat. And he says they eat everything. Allahumma stan. So in Islam, there are things which are khaba'ith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them prohibited. So how do we know khabith? We refer to the vast majority of the human beings, not specific type of people. Otherwise, there are things which furus cannot eat. And there are things, no matter what, you know, somebody try to push you, you will never eat. But does that mean it is haram because to you it's khabith? No. To you it's khabith, but to others it's not khabith. So we go with the majority, the vast majority of the cultures. So, فقال ابن عمر, when he was told that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم called قنفذ خبيث, قال إن كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال هذا فهو كما قال. He said, if Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said this, then that's it. We don't have anything to say. We just go with the statement of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. You know. So this hadith is weak. وقال الرافعي في القنفذ وجهاني. You know. أنه يحرم. One of the scholars of Shafi'iyah says there are two opinions here concerning the Qunfuth. Opinion number one is that haram. وبه قال أبو حنيفة وأحمد لما روي في الخبر أنه من الخبائث. And this is the opinion of Abu Hanifa and Imam Ahmad because of that hadith. وذهب مالك وابن أبي ليلى إلى أنه حلال وهو أقوى من القول بتحريمه لعدم نهوض الدليل مع القول بأن الأصل الإباحة في الحيوانات. Imam Malik and Abdul Rahman bin Abi Layla, they believe it's halal. Why not? Yeah, that's why we ate it long when we were kids. Yeah, when you go to the farm, we used to get it. So what they do with those shawk? It has you put your shoes and press, and then the head will come out. Yeah, so that's kids. Now, if you give me, honestly speaking, I cannot, but in those days, Allahu A'lam. because that place is Maliki. So, halal, halal. Yeah. Enjoy your dunya. So, Imam Malik says it's halal because the dalil is not strong to confront the ayah that says everything is halal. Except what dalil comes and make it specific. So the dalil that is exempting something from the general, you know, overview of the text has to be strong. If the dalil is weak, then we don't stay away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes halal because of weak narration. You get it? Taha al-Sana'ani says the issue is controversial. Yeah, some scholars said this, some scholars said that, but he says the truth is with the is closer to be with the Malikis and the second opinion of Imam Shafi. قال وان ابن عمر قال نهى النبي صلى نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الجلالة والبانها. Abdullah ibn Umar says the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made it prohibited for a person to eat الجلالة. الجلالة, what is جلالة? There's the animal that feed najas, that feed in with najas, so that is fed.
So kind of cat?
I know, this general. Jallala is any animal that eats najasa. We call it jalla. The one that feed in jalla. Usually chicken. And sometimes some of the also animals that eat, that eat grasses, but sometimes they eat najasa. And that's why the question remains, how do we deal with the jallala? Do you get it? Any animal that is eating najasa is jallala. Like this this bird, vulture.
Eat corpses.
Those ones, they eat najasa. They are all jallala. But sometimes you have a haywan, which is halal, also eat najasa. So it turns into jallala. That specific period of time, you know, and that's the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned it specifically. Yeah, nahan Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam an al-jalal. So this hadith is authentic, and wal-jalala hi lati ta'kulu al-athira wal-najasat sawa'un kanat min al-ibli aw al-baqar aw al-ghanam aw al-dajaj. And usually it's more applicable in our time with the dajaj. Yeah. Especially the free-range ones. They go and sometimes eat Yeah, that's why I don't watch them. Otherwise, when they come to your plates, you... والحديث الدليل على تحريم الجلالة وألبانها وتحريم الركوب عليها وقد جزم ابن حزم أن من وقف في عرفات راكب في جلالة لا يصح حجه. The hadith says it's haram. Ibn Hazm says whoever stand on the day of Arafah and whoever stand on the day of Arafah on animal that is called jallala لا يصح حجه. His hajj is not halal, meaning he has to do it again. But that's Ibn Hazm. That's Ibn Hazm. وظاهر الحديث أنه إذا ثبت but this opinion is wrong. Okay, this opinion is wrong. But Ibn Hazm says if you sit on the jallala, لا يصح حجك. حجك is not so صحيح. وقد جزم ابن حزم أن من وقف في عرفات راكبا على جلالة لا يصح حجه وظاهر الحديث أنه إذا ثبت أنها أكلت الجلة فقد صارت محرمة. So if when it eat then it become haram. That's the ظاهر of the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Meaning the apparent meaning of the hadith is when it eats نجاسة then it becomes haram. وقال النووي لا تكون جلالة إلا إذا غلب على علفها النجاسة. Jallala is the only one that eats a lot of najasa. Most of the alaf is the food of the animal. Most of the alaf is najasa, then it becomes jallala. Not like when it eats once. You get it? But ظاهر الحديث بمجرد الأكل. It eats, then خلاص. وقيل بل الاعتبار بالرائحة والنتن. Some says no. Even if we eat a lot, we just focus on the رائحة, the smell. Yeah. قال وبه جزم النووي والإمام يحيى وقال لا تطهر وقال لا تطهر بالطبخ ولا بإلقاء التوابل وإنزال الريح. You know, so you cook. Since there is opinion that says Jallala is the one that the raiha is. So what if when you cook it, the raiha goes? You put spices, tawabil, and all of these things, and then it doesn't smell that much. In the past, what they do when the food start to smell, and you know, alhamdulillah, ni'matullahi azza wa jalla alayna kathira, you have a lot of ni'mah, you know, we don't go for this, but in the past, no. Meat never go bad. You know, the meat when it become full of mold, they don't throw it away. What they do, they wash it, and they cook it again. They fry it again, and then khalas. Like that, they eat. So they can keep meat for 1 year, more than 1 year. The udhiyah now, it stays until next udhiyah. Because people are poor, so they are just, every meat, they just take two pieces and put, you know, slowly, slowly, and occasional. You know, subhanAllah. Now the things have changed. Yeah. Ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time also israf and tabdeer. Yeah. It said that one old man in Saudi, whenever he see food being thrown away, he used to tell people, Wallah, you don't know who we were before, because he is so old, so he knows the past, you know. What really happened, you know. The poverty and the suffering that people have been going through. But now, yeah. So that's why when you visit Abdurrahman in, we have to expose their secret and their affairs also. Yeah, when you visit him in Jeddah, send him a message first. I am alone and having one stomach. You Allah, whenever you got visited by somebody from that area, bring you a big tray like this and one half of a lamb, you know, and full of food, you know, and just you and him eat. Yeah, that's karam. You're doing it with good intention to respect you, to honor you. But then at the end of the day, the food is going to be thrown away, you know. Until the time they started having the Mu'asat al-Khayriya that gather the food after the walima and they take it to the places of the orphans and give it to them. Or the fuqara or al-masakin. And this one is just like what you can say, kafar.
Yeah.
Well, the best is, I invite this amount. How many? Nine people. So when I buy food, I buy food for 12 people. In case Hamad wants to eat for three. You get it? That's more than enough. Even if something left remains, I can take it and put it in the fridge. Later on, I eat it, you know. But we didn't do that. I invite only 9. I cook for 100 people. When it finish, we park it. My kids cannot touch what other people touch, you know. And then I just took it and put it in the garbage place. Ewallah, this is israf and tabdhir. Yeah. That's why you have to teach your kids also to understand this concept that the leftover food from the guest shouldn't be thrown away. Yeah, the family should prepare what is needed and has it. And the leftover food, just keep it and then eat. Train them from childhood. Otherwise, they will live in this israf kind of life, you know. And it's good this concept. I hope you will understand it properly. Your kids, teach them no. Yeah, vitamin N, they call it. No, vitamin N, uh-huh. Teach them no. Give them what they need and restrict the wants. Ewallah, that's good. No matter how much rich you are, teach them this. Otherwise, they will grow up without knowing the value of the money. And once they get into trouble, they become depressed. Yeah, and you know, so many people, they were rich and they became so poor, very poor. So if the children have not been given good tarbiyah, they get lost. The father can survive, but his kids are not trained to have this kind of belief. So anyway, sorry, Abdurrahman, for talking about that. So it's good for a person to restrict himself to that which is required. Qala, when you put the tawabil, he says, even if you put spices and all of these things, it will not make it halal. It remain haram. Yeah, it will remain. لا تطهر بالطبخ. Even if you cook a lot and you put all of these tawabil, وإنزال الريح لأن ذلك تغطية لاستحالة. He says because this is taghtiyah. Taghtiyah means you're covering the truth. It's just like the painkillers. The painkillers, what are they doing actually? Are they giving you the cue? No, they don't. You're still sick from inside. That's why they're very dangerous. Very dangerous. You know why I'm saying very, very dangerous? Because if you don't take the painkillers, you know you are sick. You know the amount of the sickness. You will take action properly. But the painkillers are telling you you're okay. So you relax and the sickness is eating you from inside. That's why it's good the doctors, they tell you don't take unless if it is really necessary. Yeah, many of us know. The moment you start feeling some pain, yes, ahlan wa sahlan. So he says it's taghtiya lastihala. Taghtiya means you're just covering the truth but not removing the problem. The problem is still there, but you're just covering it with something. وقال الخطابي كرهه الإمام أحمد وأصحاب الرأي. So Imam Ahmad says it's makruh to eat الجلالة. And أصحاب الرأي, this Abu Hanifa والشافعي, وقالوا لا تؤكل حتى تحبس أياما. They said we should not eat it until we keep it for days first. You get idea? Keep it for days. So that means if a cow eats najasa, a sheep eat najasa, camel eat, dajjaj eat najasa, what do I do? I have to keep it for a few days first. And you will see some said 3 days, 9 days, 12 days, 40 days. Yeah. The point is to keep it a time when we are sure that inshallah the najasa is gone. So what do we do during that period? We keep on feeding it with the halal food. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, Sharia did not say throw it away. Yeah, keep it for the najasa to be gone. قلت وقد عين الحديث وقد عين في الحديث حبسها أو عين في الحديث حبسها 40 يوما وكان ابن عمر يحبس الدجاج 3 أيام ولن يرى مالك بِأَكْلِهَا بَأْسًا مِنْ غَيْرِ حَبْسٍ. Imam Malik says, no need to. You can eat jallala, no problem. And Abdullah ibn Umar used to keep the dajjaj chicken for 3 days first, feed it with halal and then eat it. And the hadith says 40 days. وذهب الثوري والرواية عن الإمام أحمد إلى التحريم كما هو ظاهر الحديث. So some scholars said Imam Ahmad says it's haram because of the hadith. There are some who says يكره ولا يحرم لأن النحي الوارد إنما كان الغير اللحم وهو لا يجب التحريم بدليل المذكى إذا جاف. ولا يخفى أن هذا رأي في مقابلة النص وقد خالف الناظرون في هذه المسألة وقال المهدي في البحر المذهب الفريقاني الندب حبس الجلالة قبل الذبح والدجاجة قبل الذبح الدجاجة 3 أيام والشاة 7 أيام والبقرة والناقة 14 يوم. قال مالك لا وجه له قلنا لتطيب أجوافها والأمل بالحديث واجب. So these are the controversial any part of the issue quoted by Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Amir Sanani, that some of them see it as haram, some of them said no, it is not haram because the tahrim is not on the meat itself. Do you get an idea? The tahrim is on something else, not on the meat itself, because of the najasa it has fed itself. The meat is halal, cow is halal, but because now the meat is mamzuj bishayin akhar, so the tahrim is min hadhi al-haythiyya. But all of these, Al-Amir al-San'ani says, you know, the hadith is very straightforward. Naha al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an qatli an akli al-jallala. So there are some who classified the habs, because the best opinion is the one that says, tuhbas, we keep it. But to keep it until when? And is there any difference between a cow and a camel? Yeah, some scholars said, al-dajaj 3 ayam, chicken 3 days, washat 7 ayam, the sheep 7 days, wal-baqaratu wal-naqa 14 yawman, cow and the camel 14 days. Imam Malik says la wajh li hadha, there is no point of all of this. So Al-Amin al-San'ani says لا, that is what ذلك لتطيب أجوافها. We're keeping it so that we can purify, clean the inside, right? Yeah, because if it feed najasa, you also might get into trouble. So the best opinion is the one that says, yes, it is haram, and a person has to keep it for a certain amount of days for the najasa to be gone, and then you can eat it. قال وانا بقتادة في قصة الحمار الوحشي فأكل منه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. In the story of the حمار الوحشي, if you remember last time, the one that got حمار الوحشي, the zebra, and he gave it to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he ate from it. So we learn from this that حمار الوحشي is halal. You get it? You know. It's also almost ijma, you know, although that is insignificant controversy amongst some of the scholars, and some of them are saying that when you bring it home and then you give it food, you know, it becomes something that is not afraid of you, then it's ta'anas. It becomes like the himarul insi, donkey. So you don't eat donkey, this one also you don't eat it. But this one also is not true, because that nature, wild nature, still remain. Yeah, it's still there. Yeah. You don't say that ista'anas al-asad, and then now it's not asad, still. They will come, which they will go back to the wild nature right now. They have a bite very beautiful that I forgot, but إذا كان الطباع الطباع الذئب فلا أدب يفيد ولا أديب. The background of the story is that a woman found a wolf, kid, a baby of a wolf, about to die. So he brought back the wolf home. And at that time, alhamdulillah, that sister has a sheep with a baby. So that means that is a milk. So that wolf was feeding itself from the milk of the sheep. And the sheep was taking care of it, like its baby. You know? So when the wolf, small tiny wolf grew up, you know, one day it was hungry, so it ate the the foster mother. So the mother, the owner came and she got annoyed. So she was making that nasheed. إِذَا كَانَتْ طِبَعُ طِبَعُ ذِئِبٍ فَلَا أَدُبْنِ فِيدْ وَلَا أَدِبُ. All of this tarbiyah we gave, all of this kindness, none of them is working. Do you get idea? At the end of the day, you just killed just like that, the one that was taking care of you. What is the best example of this? Amongst a human being, who is the best example of this, you think? إِذَا كَانَتْ طِبَعُ طِبَعُ سُوءٍ فَلَا أَدَبٌ يُفِيدُ وَلَا أَدِيبُ.
The child that Al-Khidr killed?
No, the child doesn't do anything. The concept, if the behavior is evil, adab doesn't benefit.
Iblis.
Huh? Iblis. No, Iblis, the Ra'is al-Shar, amongst human beings. No, Mazin, you went too far. We need to bring stick and... I'm looking for an example of bad behavior that you try to be so kind. Walaikum salam.
There is a poem.
إِذَا كَانَتْ طِبَعُ طِبَعُ. You came late. Just now we're there. Just... So I'm just looking for application of this last part of the bait in human beings nowadays. Who is the best example of this?
The Jews.
The Jews. Ah. The Jews. Because when they came to Palestine, how did we receive them? Very kind, very nice, you know, and subhanAllah, and in their hearts it's just like, yeah, we're just here for a while and then we chase you out. A'udhu billah. قال وأنا أسماء بنت أبي بكر قالت نحرنا على أهدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فارسا فأكلنا. So in the part, what I was trying to say is that حيوان, the wild animal, even if you bring it home, you take care of it, it becomes familiar with everyone, it doesn't change the nature remains. Yeah. أن تجعلته مستأنسا أو مستأنسا لكن ما يغير طبيعته. وأنا أسماء بنت أبي بكر. أسماء بنت أبي بكر said, and this is sister of عائشة رضي الله عنها. They mentioned ذكروا أنها تكبر من عائشة, أكبر من عائشة بعشر سنوات. Between her and عائشة is around 10 years. الله أعلم. But for sure she's older sister of عائشة رضي الله عنها. Different mother. Our mother remains, I'm not sure whether she accepted Islam, but she remained for long without accepting Islam. You know, she wasn't with Abu Bakr, but she was hoping to have good relationship with her. So Asma bint Abi Bakr asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about silat al-rahim wal-bir. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sili ummaki. قالت نحرنا على أهدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فرسا فأكلنا. We slaughter at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam faras fa akalna. She said we naharna. You know, nahar wa dhabh. What is the difference? The point is the hadith says we slaughter and eat. Faras, horse in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which shows eating horse is halal. You know, eating horse is halal. That last time I think we talked about this, right? You know. But she says naharna. In some narration, dhabahna. What is the difference between a nahar wa dhabh?
A nahar, the knife was in the face. And
a dhabh,
the knife was in the
face. So if I just do like this, nahar.
They use it
on the neck.
Camel.
Yeah, I got it. I don't want to go to what we use first. This one, not yet. I just want the difference between a nahar wa dhabh. So as long as I take the knife, you know, and I
poke the neck.
crooked like that, then nahr. And as long as I cut like this, then dhab. Did you ever see camel being slaughtered? On the TV or real? Jama'at on YouTube. I went to Mina and I saw the way they do it. Yeah, during Hajj, I don't know how it is now, but in the past you just go manually, you slaughter your animals. Government doesn't get involved that much. Yeah. That's why, alhamdulillah, now things have gone better. Because in the past, you have 1 million Hajj, almost 1 million or 500,000 sheep are going to be thrown away. They just have to come and dig a hole and just put them inside. But now I think they are taking the meat to other places where they need it. Yeah. Before, no. You just walk and you see a lot of sheep being slaughtered and people left it just like that. Yeah, you know. So you have to be conservative. Slaughter, remove the skin, take the meat and go and cook it, eat some. That was what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. Anyway, it's exactly what Yusuf mentioned. Al-Nahar fi al-Lab, they call it here, this hole. What they do, they take the knife, they don't just pull like this, Rajul. They don't just poke the place. No, it wasn't like that. They can't do that, otherwise it would not do the job. Yeah, you see that this place is a connection of the veins, those veins that comes the two. When you do the nahar, what do you cut in the, I'm sorry, when you do the dhabh, what do you cut in a dhabh? Give me the Arabic term. Havl al-Walid. Call it awdaj. Ya Rajul, lazim yatakallam bil-Qur'an. كان الوجهين والمري والحلقو هنا three things. That's why النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن شريطة الشيطان. This hadith is weak, but almost if not all the scholars they go with this. That شريطة الشيطان هي التي تذبح ولا يفرع أوداجها. Because the essence of ذبح is these two veins. Anything else is just to make life, the execution easy. Yeah, that's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Ma anhar ad-dama, ma anhar ad-dama, not anhar, ma anhar ad-dama, wa dhukir ismullahi alayhi fakul." Whatever can help to, let the blood pour. Wa dhukir ismullahi alayhi fakul, and the name of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is being mentioned on it, then you eat it. So the main focus is inhar ad-dam. To bring out the, and the best place to make sure that the blood is gone is here. Yeah, you don't go here and cut here. That's ta'zib. Now it has to be on the neck. So those four things, the two veins, and the throat, and the tube behind the ring. Those one have to be cut. Four of them. The most important one is. So when you are doing the nahar, this is dhabh. It's very clear, right? When you are doing the nahar, what they do is they put the knife here. They poke the place. And then they drag. Both they do. But just the one, this one is up and the other one is down. That's the difference. When you go up, upper part of the neck and you cut, then we call it a dhabhu. When you do it down there, we call it a nahar. Yeah, in both of them, they do. When you look at the badu when they cut, it goes as if he's not going to do anything to the camel. And then he puts the knife, that cuts like this in the place. And then we see the blood coming down. And they do they tie one leg. Yeah. Is it okay to tie all the legs? No, it's not. Although we do that in the sheep, right? Yeah.
They do
UIA. They do it in every place, actually. They tie all the legs, but this is wrong. It's wrong. The best, no, it's halal to eat. It's halal to eat. Yeah. The best is not to tie all the legs. Tie one, maybe two of them, and leave the rest. Why the legs have to be, have to be untied, left? Yeah, because it makes the process of death easier for the animal. You want the blood to go out, right? If the animals, the more it moves, it moves and jumps, the more blood going out. If you restrict it from moving, it's not good actually for the meat itself. You know? So it takes more time. So that's why you tie it in the way it will not jump and run away. Yeah. That's why in the, they put the what do you call? The leg on the neck. You get it? Because when you control that part, the leg is going to just be moving like that. You know? Anyway, so that's the way to slaughter. But in almost all the cultures, wherever you go, they tie all the leg and then they slaughter. But the camel, we tie one. You tie one, the front leg. So when you do the nahar, you just leave it and move from the place. Otherwise, you might go with him. So when the pain comes, then the camel is going to, it make it easy for the camel to fall down. You know. So we learned from this that we can also do the nahar on the horses. But many scholars said a nahar is only for the camels. The rest, we just do the slaughtering. But you have also other scholars who said if you do the nahar also on the cow, is also fine. You get it? Nahar on the cow is also fine. Inshallah, yani al-amr fi sa'a. And al-afdal, go with the norm. Yeah, because if you do the nahar on the cow, maybe some people might not eat. Yeah, because the madhab says those four things have to be cut and they don't see them being cut. They just see the two veins being cut. So then cause problem to the community unnecessarily. You know. قال وعن ابن عباس قال أكل الضب على مائدة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Abdullah ibn Abbas said they ate a dhab على مائدة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The plate of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Dhab, what is dhab? That big sand lizard. Oh, okay. But just lizard. So sand lizard, is it types? A dhab is the big one. Yeah, that one eats grasses. It eats grasses, right. That one is confirmed, I guess. But the size is big, and dhab is big. So don't mention lizard and then keep quiet, otherwise people will end up getting geckos and... Yeah, what do you call it? Chicha?
Yeah.
Chicha. See, I know better than you. As my Malay teacher told me this. Chicha, you know, a lot of them. Anyway, so a dhab is halal to be eaten because it was eaten at the ma'idah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he doesn't say anything. وَحَكَى إِيَاظٌ عَنْ قَوْمٍ تَحْرِيمَهُ. There are some, Qadi Iyad, you know, said that some people believe that dhab is haram. It's haram to eat. It has a story, a nice story behind it. قال النووي وأظنه لا يصح عن أحد فإن صح فهو محجوج بالنص والإجماع من وإجماع وإجماع وبإجماع من قبله. Imam al-Nawawi says I don't think that is somebody among the scholars who says dhab is haram. And even if what al-Qadi said is true, but that statement will be useless because there is ijma before that all the scholars agree that dhab is okay. Why is somebody coming and telling us, you know, it's not okay? I cannot eat. Abdurrahman can. I cannot eat the dhab. And Lee Salaf, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam couldn't eat dhab. Yeah, but he says it's halal. And Khalid bin Walid wa jama'atuhu, they enjoy their meal, you know. وَقَدْ اِحْتَجَّ الْقَائِلُونَ بِالتَّحْرِيمِ بِمَا أَخْرَجَهُ أَبُو دَوْدَ. Okay, listen to this. أَنَّ النَّبِيَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَهَى عَنِ الضَّبِّ. Those people who said it's haram, they said Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said dhab is haram. Very clear, right? And this hadith, فِي إِسْنَادِهِ إِسْمَعِيلُ بْنَ عَيَّاشِ وَرِجَالُهُ شَامِيُونَ. Yeah. It's interesting to know this because This is a waste of time. You don't study Mustalah al-Hadith, so you will not enjoy this. But there are some scholars of Hadith, when they narrate Hadith, every Hadith they narrate is batil. Unless if they narrate a Hadith from Malaysians, like that. Then we take. Because whatever they narrate from the people in Malaysia, we check and find it to be authentic. But if they narrate from Singapore, Indonesia, whatever they narrate from Thailand, batil. You get it? So that's why you will see them saying that if this person narrates from Ahlul Medina, all of his narration from Ahlul Medina are authentic. But other than that, it's not. So that's why when they said this hadith is weak, because there is Ismail ibn Ayyash, you know, Al-Amir al-Sanani says, no, we already know in the science of hadith that if Ibn Ayyash narrated from Shamiyin, his narration is okay. And this hadith he narrated from Shamiyin. You get ideas. That's mean to reject the hadith from this angle is not. Qala wa bima akh is not okay. It's not good. Yeah, the hadith is okay because he narrated from Ahl al-Shami. Then we should look for something else to refute them. وأخرج أبو داود من حديث عبد الرحمن بن حسنة أنهم طبخوا ضبا فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن this is the one that I was telling you to wait for. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أمة من بني إسرائيل. You see these guys, right, from the past? I don't think there is a nation that received this type of punishment more than the Jews. Yeah. He says there was a nation from Bani Israel. And wallahi, you see, I've never seen a nation that acts like tifl. You know, tifl atfal?
Children,
you know. In the Senate, you see them dancing. Whenever something happens, you can see them just like that, dancing, crying, you know, like babies. You know, the way you see the baby, crying. Dancing. So when I see all of these things, you know, I remember what Musa alayhi salam said. When Allah destroyed them, he says, "Atuhulikuna bima fa'ala as-sufaha'u minna." Allah destroy them. He says, "Ya Allah, would you just destroy us because of the act of the foolish, you know, the prodigals?" And his scholar said, "Ummatun ru'asa'uha sufaha." Umma ru'asa'uha sufaha. You know, a nation, the leaders of that nation they are called sufaha, foolish. And what do you wait from them, you know? And anyway, wherever Islam doesn't exist, yeah. Recently there was a thing that I see in the media about UK and what is the other country? US, yeah. Yeah. Those are the capital mujrimiha. So these two countries, they are almost going to fight. They are fighting actually diplomatically. And guess, what was the cause of the fight? Because somebody from the UK, somebody from the US, I guess. Somebody from the US says that the tea in the UK, if you want to remove the bitterness, you can just add a bit of salt in it. Do you get the idea, right? I just want you to understand, you know, why do you waste your time if you keep on worrying about these guys, you know? That's why the one who was narrating the story, he says, "Alamun majnun." You know, letters from the embassy, the ambassador goes to the apologize. This one is apologizing. I was like, what is this? You know, milk and tea, that's going to cause a war between the. Wallahi, alhamdulillah, al Islam. You know, a person should say, alhamdulillah, al Islam. So, in this hadith, which is authentic, it says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they cook dab, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna ummatan min bani Israel musikhat dawaban fil ardi, fa akhsha an takuna hadhihi." You know, when he sees the dab, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there was a nation from Banu Israel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed. Al-maskhu is to convert them to another creation. Yeah, they're human beings, but they turn. They're rat, but they turn into pigs or something else. You know. So he says, musikhat. He said, "I am afraid this dub is the balance of those guys." فَأَلْقُوهَا. He told them, throw it away. He said, "I have a strong fear that this is one of them." Darwin, if he study Islam, maybe he find this, he will say, you see that, you know? Alhamdulillah, a'amallahu basiratahu. You never come and see this, you know. For him to put doubt in the heart of some, like Fula. May Allah guide him. وَوَجِيبَ عَنِ الْأَوَّلِ بِأَنَّ النَّهْيَ وَإِنْ كَانَ أَصْلُهُ التَّحْرِيمِ صَارَفَهُ هَذَا إِلَىٰ الْكَرَاهَةَ مَا أَخْرَجَهُ مُسْلِمٌ أَنَّهُ صلى الله عليه وسلم قَالَ كُلُوا فَإِنَّهُ حَلَلٌ وَلَكِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ طَعَامِهِ. They said, although that hadith, because Amir Sanani says, you cannot say this hadith is weak, it's authentic. The one that says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it's haram, he says, no, the narration is authentic. Unless if we're going to go back to the principles of Masal al-Hadith and change them. Yeah, you shouldn't have double standard, right? We say, if this person narrates from Shamiyin, the hadith is okay. But now he did from Shamiyin. Why do we need to criticize that one? We accept everything from Shamiyin except this? He says, no. We have to look for another evidence. I love this, you know. I love this kind of approach because sometimes scholars, they reject something which happens to be a fact because they couldn't refute somebody. Do you get the idea? They couldn't refute somebody. Up to date, the issue of majaz and no majaz, up to date is one of the issues that I don't see any significance in fighting. You know, because there is always a way to refute the Ahlul Batil without rejecting Majaz. And if you go to the past, the linguist, you know, everyone saying Majaz exists in Arabic language. You don't need to reject it. For you to tell them, Sifatullahi la fiha Majaz. You know, everything has exception. Yeah, there is no Majaz. If you say this is Majaz, Majaz is what? Something that should divert it meaning to another meaning, but bi qarina. You have qarina. Provide us with this qarina. It will never exist when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You never saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How would you say that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant in terms of how he does things? You know? Yeah, we say majaz exists, but it doesn't exist in the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in tawheed, in aqidah, in general, no majaz. Khalas, the door is closed. Do you get the idea? That's why Ibn Qudam, after he talks about this matter, he says, whatever you want to call it, call it. Because some of them said it's not majaz. It's uslubin min asalib al-lugha al-arabiyya. Yeah, just the way the Arabs speak, you know. He says, call it whatever you want to call it. La mushahata fil silah idh tadah al-ma'na. Okay, la mushaha means no fighting, no debate when it comes to salah terminologies. Yeah, when I ask what is your name again? Hamad. I ask him, what is this? He tell me, qalam. I tell him, what do we do with it? He said, we use it to talk to people. I show it to Yusuf. I said, Yusuf, what is this? Yusuf tell me, this is a cow. What do we use it for? He said, we use it to call people. Abdurrahman, what is this? He said, this is sayyara. What do we do with it? He said, we use it to call people. And I ask everyone, will tell me different name, but the purpose is the same. So Ibn Qudama says, why do we fight? Let him call him whatever he wants to call. The point is, the objective is one. So these type of things, please pay attention to them because sometimes you might waste time. You might waste your time arguing on something which you don't need to. Yeah, there are issues, they call them. طَوِيلَةُ الذَّيْلِ قَلِيلَةُ النَّيْلِ. Understand this correctly. There are matters which are طَوِيلَةُ الذَّيْلِ قَلِيلَةُ النَّيْلِ. What does that mean? Long discussion among the scholars, but the benefit is little or even non-existence. Do you get the idea? Yeah. I'll give you an example of them when you study usul. One of the earliest issues you talk about is mabda al-lugha. Language starts from where? Malay language, English, Arabic, Urdu. Any language we have. Thousands of languages. What is the origin of language? Is it tawqifi or islahi? Tawqifi means Allah revealed it. Islahi means, yeah, this one is sound is funny. How do we do the islah? Yeah, I come, we gather all of us like this. We don't speak anything. We don't know how to talk. Get it? And then I come, and then I raise up this. And then Hamad says, key. Just like that. Just like that. Why key? Just say key. Abdurrahman said key, key, key. and then khalas. Then we have the name of this one become key. Get it? And then we raise up the next one. Okay? What do we call this? Bag. Okay? Bag, and then khalas. So some said, no, but this one is wrong because you have to have a base. Otherwise, without base, how can you build those, principles? You know, application cannot happen unless if you have a base. Long debate. I'm telling you, long debate. This one is saying this, this one is saying this. You're wrong, you're right, you know. Ibn Qudama says, what a waste of time. He said, this is all waste of time. And he also wastes time. Because after he finished mentioning all of their debate, he says, walhaqqu. That means he was also involved in the waste of time. He called it qalilatul dhayl, tawilatul nail, qalilatul dhayl. And the benefit is very little, but the discussion is very long. He said, walhaqqu, anna ba'daha tawqifi wa ba'daha istilahi. Some of them is tawqifi and some of them is istilahi. But honestly speaking, what is the benefit of this? Hey, tell me, what is the benefit? There are some of our scholars who try to establish some benefit, but what is the benefit of this? If I know that language is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I know that people are just, we all know that language developed, right? You go to dictionary every time, every year you have new words emerging. And anyway, the British were, if you take Omar, the Sajjad, Qayyum, take them to Kampung, Sangat Kampung, you know. I don't know. Don't say I'm wrong. Huh? Otherwise, I will say your speaking also is wrong. You go to the Kampung, they might be speaking something. You ask them, what do you mean by this? Yeah, because in that place, in every country, you go to the Kampung, they speak the original language. In the city, we have so many modifications. So this is our language. We just go with the urf. Ma ta'arafa alayhi nas. Whatever people agree with to be used in this way, we just use it in that way. And life is simple. Okay, so back to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we say that since Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them kuluhu fa innahu halalun walakinahu laysa min ta'ami. He said eat it because it is halal, but the only thing is that it is not my food, meaning something that I enjoy. I cannot eat it, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them kuluhu. In another place, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he says, أنه قال بعض القوم عند ابن عباس إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في الضب لا أكله ولا أنهى عنه ولا أحرمه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا أكله. I cannot eat it. ولا أنهى عنه. And I will not make it prohibited. ولا أحرمه. And I will not make it haram. What does that mean? It is halal. So that hadith which says haram, we understand that the tahrim is restricted to karaha. Karaha to tanzih is not. It's not haram. And even this one, to make it makruh, honestly speaking, is doubtful. We're just answering those questions. Otherwise, ijma in aqad ala annahu halal. That is ijma, that it is halal. And also concerning the issue of the Jew. They were converted into something else. It is established in Sahih Muslim that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying this before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him that whenever he changed a people to another creation, يَبْقَوْنَ ثَلَسْتَ أَيَّامٍ فَقَطْ. In Sahih Muslim, they can only stay for 3 days and then died. That's why in this narration, he says, سُئِلَ رَسُولَ سَلَّى عَسُمَا عَنِ الْقِرَدَةُ وَالْخَنَازِيرِ أَهِيَ مِمَّا مُسِخْ. Somebody asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about qirada, the monkeys and the pigs. Yeah, because some of them Allah changed them to monkeys and pigs, right? Ahiya qirada, ahiya mimma musikh, are they the balance of those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed to pigs? Qala inna Allah lam yahlik qawman aw yamsah qawman aw yamsakh qawman fayaj'al lahum naslan wala aqila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never destroy a people, you know, convert them to another creation, فَيَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ نَسْلًا. And at the same time, he let them reproduce. They don't have progeny. They cannot. After that, then خَلَاص. كَانُوا أَقِيمِينَ. That's why he says, وَلَا أَقِيمَ. They will not have progeny and offspring. Yeah, they just remain. And also we got from another narration in Sahih Muslim that they can only live for 3 days. Yeah, this is just for lesson. Yeah, for people to get a lesson. قال أجيب بأنه لو سلم أنه ممسوخ فلا يقتضي تحريم أكله لأنه كونه كان آدميا وقد زال حكمه ولم يبق له أثر. Okay, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe some people will try, you know. He says some scholars said, even if it is. I mean, before it used to be mamsukh. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed it from pig, from human being to pig. Now, from human being to dhab, not pig. Pig is haram. But from human being to dhab, human being is haram. And now it changes to something that is halal. It says, why not? Okay, so this is another opinion that says, why not? And because now it's tahala. It used to be haram, but now it changed into something that is halal. Why not? So he says that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam karihahu lima waqa'a alayhi min sakhatillahi azza wa jalla. كما كرب الشرب من ماء الشرب من ماء ثمود. Says Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I did not eat it because the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the wrath of Allah is on them. How can you eat something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse? So they are saying that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not staying away from it because it is used to be human being. He is staying away from it because Allah curses it. But this one, هل يستقيم أبدا؟ Yeah, because he just say قوما. He says فأخشى أن يكونوا هم. ظاهره يدل على أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كرهه لأنه كان إنسانا من قبل. So والله أعلم. The best opinion is the one that says ضب is halal for whoever can eat it. قال وعن عبد الرحمن بن عثمان القرشي أن طبيبا سأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الضفدع يجعلها في دواء فنهى عن قتلها. A medical doctor asked Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in this hadith of عبد الرحمن بن عثمان القرشي. He says a medical doctor asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الضفدع about frog to put it in the medicine. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no, you cannot kill it. Naha an qatliha. He made it prohibited for somebody to kill frogs. That is a hadith which I believe is weak, but now he narrated mawquf, part of it that is authentic. So, wallahu a'lam. Okay? I will mention it because in the past we mentioned the weak one. رفعه إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على حسب ما أعرف أنه ضعيف. لكن هنا he narrated attributing it to one of the companions and he says it's authentic. أخرج أبو داود والنسائي والبيهقي بلفظ ذكر طبيب عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عند ذكر طبيب عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دواء وذكر الضفدع يجعلها فيه فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فنهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الضفدع. Okay. وأخرج من حديث ابن عمرو قال لا تقتلوا الضفدع فإن نقيقها تسبيح. أي نعم هذا الذي أقصد. عبد الله بن عمرو says do not kill frogs because the نقيق of the frog is تسبيح. هذا موقوف عن عبد الله بن عمر. أذكر يوما ذكرته فقلت إنه ضعيف. هذا موقوف عن ابن عمر عن عبد الله بن عمر. عبد الله بن عمر says is he says the نقيق is تسبيح. ولا تقتل الخفاش فإنه لما خارب بيت المقدس قال يا رب سلطني على البحر حتى أغرقه أو خرب بيت المقدس بيت المقدس قال يا رب سلطني على البحر حتى أغرقه. He says don't kill خفاش. What is خفاش? The bats, right? Those birds. They said it poops from the mouth and eats from the mouth and vomits from the mouth and pee from. Wallahu alam. But I think this theory, we believe in this from long ago when we are young, but I think some people say this is wrong. It has, just like any other animal. Anyway, so this khufash, that's a bat that usually comes out at night. And subhanAllah, very interesting life, the way they move. That's why, as I said, studying these things increase the iman, to see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put those kind of nature in those animals. It increases the iman for a person to know the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do whatever he wants. فَإِنَّهُ لَمَّا خَرَبَ بَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ قَالَ يَا رَبْ. When the Bayt al-Maqdis was destroyed, he says, Ya Rab, سَلِّطْنِي عَلَى الْبَحَرِ. Give me ability on the sea. حَتَّى أُغْرِقَهُمْ, so that I will destroy them all. قَالَ الْبَيْهَقِيُّ إِسْنَادُهُ صَحِيحٌ وَأَنْ عَنَسٍ قَالَ لَا تَقْتُلُوا الضِّفْدَعَ. So موقوف صحيح. And Abdullah ibn Amr, موقوف صحيح. موقوف means it's a statement of a sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you don't have anything that contradicts it, we accept what a companion said. وَعَنْ أَنَسٍ لَا تَقْتُلُوا الضِّفْدَعَ فَإِنَّهَا مَرَّتْ عَلَىٰ نَارِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ فَجَعَلَتْ فِي أَفْوَاهِهَا الْمَاءَ وَكَانَتْ تُرُشُّهُ عَلَىٰ النَّارِ. See, don't kill Zifda, because it passes through the fire that they put Ibrahim in it, and it went to the water and bring water and started trying to stop the fire from increasing. Sprinkle the water with the fire. So, Wallahu alam. Well, we know about the gecko, right? The wazagha, it used to blow it so that the fire would increase. Yeah. That's where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wherever we find it, we do what? We kill. والحديث دليل على تحريم الضفدع ويؤخذ منه تحريم أكلها. So from the hadith we learn that you cannot eat it. Although Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't kill. But if killing is haram, so eating is haram. Because how do you eat it? Unless if you're from Banu Fulan, then this one says they eat the raw one, the living one. Yeah. Wallahu alam. I heard somebody saying that they went and they served them food and the frogs were just there smiling. Anyway, so it's haram to eat frogs. And it's haram to use it as a medicine also. You get it? And we learn from this that any haram thing, it's haram to put it in the medicine. You get it? Yeah. You can only use haram when there is darura. And there is darura in medicine. There is no darura in medicine. Because we have two conditions for the darura to be, for the haram to be used in the state of darura. What are these two conditions?
There's no other alternative.
There is no any other alternative. You put it in some other way. That's the meaning of darura itself. The same way you are, playing with words, the same thing. You are making dawr.
And the benefit that you get from it is greater than the harm that is caused.
It's true. Your word is true, but this is not the condition they made. Good. They said you have to be sure, 100%, or ghalib al-dhan, that if you eat it, the darura situation will be gone. Yeah. There is no such thing in medicine. With dalil, Ahyan and Abdurrahman and Hamad, they might have some infection, both of them, the same thing. And they gave Hamad medicine, he's okay, Abdurrahman is not okay. Sorry, Abdurrahman. Yeah, and sometimes you might become okay with no medicine. How many times they give medicine, it doesn't work, and then you just stay like that, you're annoyed, and then you're okay. Yeah. That's why Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen was right in this regard. He said, لا ضرورة في الدواء. There is no ضرورة in دواء. Because both conditions also cannot be applicable, because there is always alternative. Always, always. Halal alternative. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah never sent a disease without sending a cure. And then he says, Tadawa ibadallah wa la tadawa bi muharram aw bi haram. Look for medicine, but then use haram. And he says, Allah never placed the cure of my ummah in that which he makes it prohibited upon them. That means you have to look for halal medicine. So when you buy a medicine, check the ingredients before you buy. If there is any haram element in it, you have to stay away from it. When you have alcohol, the one that is making a person intoxicated, this medicine is haram. You have to look for another thing. You get it? Yeah. Those conditions cannot be fulfilled in the medicine. You know, Allah grant is good. Okay, alhamdulillah. We're done with this book now. We're done with the food. We're going to another prestigious and fancy topic, which is about as-sayd, hunting. Yeah, very, very interesting topic.
Allah says to us that He taught Adam the names of the animals and the creatures and everything. So how come this debate is not settled? Because you were saying earlier that they have been debating over the origin of Arabic. But if Allah says that He taught Adam the names, then isn't the logical conclusion that Arabic is just an evolved form of what Allah taught Adam?
What language Adam speak?
We don't know, but Arabic would be derivative of that, isn't it?
No, I'm just asking, what language Adam speak?
We don't know.
This Adam we know, but but Arabic. Some of them said Arabic. They said Arabic, right. Where did they get it? Israeliyat. We don't know. What language Adam is speaking, we don't know. To claim that his descendants, he speaks all the languages with everyone, also is not, it's not true. Where do you get it? You get it? People turn to have standard in languages. When they meet others, they develop another one. What exactly were they speaking? We don't know. And to say that al-asma' kullaha is referring to all the languages also is questionable. Allah says the name of all things. You get it? Which language was He using to teach Adam the name of all things? Allah. Allah inspired them way to speak. He and Hawa, they just find themselves being able to speak? Yes. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. But subsequently their descendants, they learn. Yeah, because they came from childhood, right? The father is speaking, the mother is speaking. For sure, Adam is not just silent and the mother also is silent. They talk to each other. You know, they ask Allah SWT to forgive them. Since in Jannah, they were talking. Yeah, but after that, those who came, from where they get their language? Yeah. English language, when does it exist according to the history?
Yeah, it changed from Old English. English came from Germany.
The old one was Germany before, and then?
Scandinavia.
Scandinavia. Okay, and then who was the first person who was speaking that one? Yeah, I want to ask a question, Eddie. Before, how is it, you know, who was the first person that talked, and how did he know that? Where did he get it? How did he know that, you know? And also now you're saying, tagayyar, it changes, you know, it used to be this, and then now this. And we don't know what is it going to be, you know? So that's why this is one of the issues that I found is a waste of time. You know, you can study those ones just to enjoy and laugh and give yourself some relief, you know. But it doesn't have any significance, you know. Yeah. I know that English language is from Allah. And you have to answer those people who says, look at the kuffar. you get it? So what? What does that mean? And how is it related to my iman and the fiqh of Islam? Do you get the idea? We can benefit from it in the Arab custom, you know, when an Englishman says this is what he meant. Yeah, when an Englishman says this is what he meant. When an Arab says this is what he meant. Do you get the idea? Does it? Other than that? No. You get it, Adam? So it is better, these are one of the topics that closing it is better. Because if I claim that, yes, language is tawqifi, I need evidence for this. If I claim that language is istilahi, I need evidence for this. But then I went looking for evidence, you know, spend 1 year checking, searching, interviewing, traveling, you know, talk to this and that. At the end of the day, what do I benefit? Nothing. Yeah.
Sheikh, regarding the medication, checking first before eating the medicine, how would we know as laymen what is inside the medicine? Like, for example, paracetamol. What's inside? We don't know. How are we going to
know? We know. Sajjad, you know. Sajjad, which alam you are living in? They wrote behind what they put. What they did not mention, we don't. Khalas. We just say it doesn't exist. Maybe they're lying. But we just work on that which is written behind. The component of this medicine is this, and that. And nowadays, I think even sometimes when they see it like paracetamol and Panadol, they might not write because it's too common, you know. They don't need to mention everything. You go online. How did they produce this?
Yeah,
there is always somebody who will tell you the component.
But we don't understand the component also.
No, we do. Just come to the medical doctor. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, at home, whenever I say the medical doctor, they call me Dr. Batin. So, but I always tell them, in all of my prescriptions, you guys succeed. You know? So I don't know which Batin you're talking about. I think Sajjad is very easy nowadays. It's very easy. Because now knowledge is very common and very open, you know. Whatever I need, you know, anything that I get, I just call somebody, you know, among the doctors, their friends or friends of friends, you know, call them. Please, they mention this, what is that? They would tell me, yeah, actually, this is some extract from pig. I say, oh, okay. I know. Then I don't go for it. Yeah, I think nowadays everything is very clear and easy also to get access to what you want. Yeah, it's better to check. Because some of these medicines are disease. If you are to know what exactly they're all about, you might not be able to use it, you know.
Second question. Is it the same as chicha?
Yeah, that's how that's my Malay teacher says chicha is a series of, is a main title. Don't say I'm wrong, huh? It's a main title. You have different types of lizard, right? You have a lot of lizards. Yeah. This is one of the things actually that I said, gecko, I'm still mutawakif. What is known back there at home, gecko is the one that you see at home. The small one that comes inside the house. Wherever we see it, we kill. It's good to kill because it's poisonous also sometimes. It's not good for you, for it to be next to you. Whether it is a gecko intended by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or not, but even if you write gecko, this is what comes. You write wazaga, the translation is gecko. When you write gecko, this is the picture of the gecko. However, yeah, that one here. However, in the past, there was a scholar who visited us. When he came, they put him in a place, and then the gecko came, that small one, and then some people came, kill it. He was like, what are you doing? Why? They said, no, this is the wazaga. He said, no, this is not the wazaga Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now he put us into doubt. That's why I said, you remember last time I said, people who are living in next to the village, we need to have access to the kampung in the Arab countries. Those people. You ask one of them, please, what do you call wazaga? Show him all the pictures of the lizard, you know? Yeah. Show him, because he might not understand, you know, because there might not be wazaga next to him. So bring all of the pictures and tell him this one. Yeah. But until now, I cannot say which one.
This size and it's black color, black or dark green. Yeah, that's the gecko. Because we see it many times in our country. And they have like a special voice. They make some like distinct voice.
Even this one also make very, very sometimes scary voice. Yeah. You know. And sometimes you see and sometimes it grows, it come big. Yeah. Big like this. You know. So, and if you look at the structure, it's the same as the small one, except that this one is big and becomes so scary. Yeah, disgusting and scary. You know. So until now, you see, according to his interpretations, he says, wazaga is that the big one like this, right? Just like that, Sheikh also said it's bigger than this. But I'm still looking forward to see somebody who is in, who can get access to that one, yeah.
Should we kill in that case, or this is something we should?
Oh no, this one I think scientifically is not good for human being, yeah. Sometimes when you walk on the food, if you eat without washing it, you might vomit a lot. And the real wazaga, the one that I guess Jahil talk about in Kitab al-Haywanat, Kitab al-Haywan or Haywanat, you know, it says when it bites you, you might get infected by a disease which is worse than leprosy. Very, very, very strong, poisonous animal. And it hates human beings. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَانَ تَنْفَخُ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. It really hates human beings. They say what it does when it comes to the room, when it finds something uncovered, that's why it's really, really wrong for you to leave food uncovered. You know, sometimes intentionally they fell inside. Intentionally. Yeah. There was a time I was living in an area. We came, we found the pot cooking, so I left it open. How is it possible that this gecko come and get inside the food? Inside the food. Alhamdulillah, it was rice, so it was on top. Flattened, cooked, you know. If it is from Bani Fulan, they said, MashaAllah. Well, I couldn't eat. The pot and the whole thing, I told them, this pot, if I see it in my house, I don't trust your food anymore. So we just threw away the whole thing. Do you get an idea? But the question is, why? Why is come and get inside the food? How? How? Do you get an idea? No explanation except that which they mention, that sometimes it goes and get inside the food and just rub its, roll its body inside and pee. If it is liquid, it pees inside so that the poison will go to everywhere. Just like that. Yeah. Allah understands. So that's why killing this is good. Even this small one also, it's not good to leave it in the house. But maybe somebody, Rahman and Yusuf, maybe if you can help, please give us, not based on this is what we call gecko in our place. No, true research, because we need to know, because people are asking about this, and yeah, because we need to get the reward, right? Yeah, if you kill, you'll be rewarded. So it's good to know what exactly is this. So if you can get us, inshallah, assignment to be submitted, how many hours from now? Okay, whenever you find something good, inshallah.
Sheikh, there's a question. How do you feel? Some people claim that kunyah, right, can make a man strong in his intimacy. It's called anai in Malay. So, can we eat that?
What is that?
Termite,
it's the termite. The termite is the
Arda. The big one.
Uh-huh.
That it affects my mind.
Uh-huh.
The queen.
These are khabais. This is khabith, right? I don't know when people eat this. And these type of things, you know, this is my personal advice to anyone. Whatever takes you out of your nature, wallahi, I advise people to stay away from them. Because I know some people, they use this type of, you know, things, powders and medicine, you know. So what happens is it gives you what you want to get, what you want at that time, but at the same time, you don't know what the side effects will happen in the future. Yeah, it's better for a person to remain as natural as possible. Don't interfere with the nature, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put you, you know. But those insects in general, unless the one that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said is halal, they are considered by the scholars as khabaith.
Locust.
Yeah, the locust, this one is okay.
Assalamu alaikum, ya Sheikh. Sheikh, so it is from the Sunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he refused to eat adhab because it's not his. He's not used to eating it. So is it from the Sunnah to refuse to eat something that's that in which you're not used to?
No, it's not. It's not. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is just acting naturally. Just like you. You eat everything? No. Yeah, you might be next to people who eat. Most of the things you don't eat, they eat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Lam ajidhu bi ardi qawmi fa ajidu nafsi ta'afuhu." You know. So he just done it based on his nature. He said, "I cannot eat. Ajid nafsi ta'afuhu." He said, "Nafsi ta'afuhu." You know. So it's not sunnah not to eat. Otherwise, he would tell them, "Min as-sunnah alla ta'kula dhabba." But he told him, "Ya Rasulullah, that means it's halal." He said, "Ya la uharrimu, I cannot make it haram." Because you not eating it.
Sheikh, question by Umm Rayyan. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. The hadith mentioning sun rising in the west, is the meaning, besides a physical phenomenon happening at end of times, does it also mean how people in the west will fight, how people in the west versus east behave, meaning people are looking more to the west compared to the east?
Umm Rayyan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and a strong interest in learning and put barakah in your life and the life of your family. But I will give you one principle when it comes to the signs of the Day of Judgment. Yeah, all of them are to be understood as part of the unseen. Right? And we take them literally. That's the second thing. Literally. The way Rasulullah also mentioned it, we take it literally. So inshallah, if you understand this principle correctly, all of these new interpretations that you will hear from people, Dajjal is not Dajjal, it's a Western mentality, the feminist movement, you know, and sun rising from the West, it doesn't mean physically sun coming, it's just like what you have said. All of these things, you keep them aside, throw them away. Yeah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about things which happen literally and physically. We will see them. Abu Dhar, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, he says, "Ya Abu Dhar, atadri ayna tadhhabu ash-shamsu?" He says, "Do you know where does the sun goes?" Abu Dhar said, "No, Ya Rasulullah, Allahu wa Rasulu a'lam." And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Every day it goes to the arsh of Allah, and then it makes sujood, and then it will ask Allah, 'Ya Allah, do you accept my sujood?' Allah will say, 'Yes.' So can I proceed?" Allah will say, "Yes, proceed." And then we'll go and come out from the east again. And then he said, there will be a time where it will go to the arsh, and then it will say, "Ya Allah, do you accept my sujood?" Allah would say, "No." So can I proceed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, "No, go back from where you came from." So it just set from the west, right? And Allah asked it to go back. It comes from where? From the west. Yeah. I mean, this very simple explanation. Why do I need to go to hidden meanings, you know, by some of these speakers? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them. Get idea. So anything that happens to be part of the unseen, we understand it literally. Literally. And also, we make it according to unseen knowledge, which we don't know except what we are told. You know, so sun is going to rise from the west. We see it from the east. There is a time which we will see it coming out from the west. That's it. When it comes, it will block the tawbah. Otherwise, by now, the tawbah is not accepted, right? And then the criminals, we tell them, okay, go and commit your crime because you cannot convert to a good person, you know? That would be very dangerous, you know? No, it is going to happen in the last part of this life. When it comes, then no more tawbah, no more Islam to be accepted if a person was not Muslim before, you know?
Question by Ibrahim Sheikh. Salam Sheikh. A person arrives late for Salatul Asr, and he joins the jama'ah before the imam goes down for the second rak'ah. He continues with the jama'ah, but on the final rak'ah, instead of the imam going into the final tashahud, the imam stands up for a fifth rak'ah. The question is the person's prayer accepted if he gives taslim with the jama'ah?
I don't understand.
He arrived...
Meaning he missed one rak'ah.
No.
And the imam added one more rak'ah.
No.
Did they remind him about... Or they don't know?
The ma'mum, they just do the taslim.
No, for him, as long as he prayed thinking that rak'ah is the last rak'ah of him, to get an idea, prayed like that, then it's okay. However, if he knows that the imam is in the fifth rak'ah and he follows him, his prayer is batil. Yeah, when you know that the imam is praying number five, you remind the imam doesn't want to listen. You have to cut off your following with the imam. Yeah, if he knows, the prayer is batil. adding one rak'ah intentionally in dhuhr, asr, maghrib prayer nullify the whole thing. The whole prayer is gone. It's not like wudu. Wudu, if I wash my hand four times, that's my wudu. Is my wudu batil? No. Number four is batil, because it's totally separated. But prayer is one entity, one body, one thing. Cannot separate some part of it from the other part. So if he added one rak'ah intentionally, that prayer is batil. He has to redo again from the beginning. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Yeah, ما زلنا في هل أزيدكم ذات قصة هل أزيدكم اللهم إلا إذا هم ما أعرف أمين ليسوا متأكدين يعني متابعة الإمام وأنت and you know that the Imam is wrong, he goes to the number rak'ah number 5 or rak'ah number 3 in Fajr prayer is wrong, it's batil. You can't follow him.
So what's the meaning of
No, إذا صح عنه then نحمله إذا صح عنه we just take it as they also are not sure, because if I'm not sure and the Imam is standing up I follow him, then we discuss afterwards because I'm not sure. The issue is if I'm sure 100% we pray for rakat and he's going for the fifth one and I reminded him, he doesn't want to be reminded, I have to cut off my prayer, my following, you know, from him and pray alone until then, you know. I mean, finish, Qayyum?
There are around 4 more questions.
Okay. Faster then.
Question from Sister Marcia. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. I had a question. I had asked a question regarding the statement "Kana Allahu wa la makan wa huwa al-an ala ma alayhi kan." I just found that this statement is falsely attributed to the Prophet, and scholars consider this statement batil. However, people use this statement to say that since Allah had existed before the creation of the Arsh and the seven heavens, He still exists outside of the Arsh and the seven skies. How do we refute this?
All of this is batil. We tell anyone who is, as we said last time also, that this is too far to be attributed to those companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if it is authentic, we don't care about it because we have nusus from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says otherwise and give us a clear principle on how to walk and deal with the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my advice to the one who is asking this question, Sister Mashia, always stick to the manhaj of the Salafus Salih when dealing with Asma wa Sifat. No details to be given. Yeah, all of these exaggeration and explaining to them and going this, this and that, wallah, is none other than opening the door. And they might not understand your falsafa. So the best is to stick to the manhaj of the Salafus Salih, amir ruha kama ja'at. The names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be kept in the way they reach us. No ta'wil, no takif, no tashbih. So unnecessary details, you know, are supposed to be thrown away. You know. You get it? That's the easiest manhaj. Names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I take them in the way they are, I leave them like that. You know. It's a very dangerous topic, you know. Going deep in it is mahlaka. Iwallah. It's very easy for a person to get destroyed and to be in trouble. Because you're going to be talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without having a proper knowledge and permission to do that. Finish. You said only three, and I answer one. So two left. Yes, we finish those masakin, and then we know we are done with all of them.
Question from Azir Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sheikh. Ahsan Allahu ilaykum fi dunya wa akhirah. In the hadith, عن الأسود قال سألت عائشة ما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصنع في بيته قالت كان يكون في مهنتي إلى آخره. What kind of work did the Prophet ﷺ help with?
Whatever he can help them, Rasulullah ﷺ help his family. Yeah, anything. Fixes his clothes. Yeah, and whatever the family are doing, whatever he can help, yeah, it's better to leave it open. whatever he can do which fit him, he should do. You get the idea. Sweeping the house, you can do. Your wife is sweeping the house all the time alone. And you came back home. It's good sometimes you join them to do the thing. Yeah, it makes them happy, you know, that you're also a part of the family. Yeah, that's why it's good whenever you don't have anything at home, out of the home, you do what? Go home. This is what we didn't learn. You know, I'd rather go to friends and stay there and then come to the family at the last minute. No. Whenever you finish your affairs out of the house, go home. Stay with the family, educate, support, help, you know. Good idea, you know. Cooking sometimes. Yeah. There are things which might be woman thing, you know. It's not you live with the sisters. Get the idea? It's not you live with the sisters. If you have daughters and you have sons, who goes to the kitchen?
Daughters.
My children, I told the boys that they don't have portion in the kitchen. I don't ever want to see them in the kitchen. Yeah, but the other part of the house, cleaning the bathroom, doing all of these other jobs, yeah, they do. Yeah, I want everyone to remain with this nature. Get it? Although man's food is better than woman's food, right? Debatable. Yeah. Next question. Inshallah.
Question from Brother Irfan.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
What is the best way to read Surah Al-Fatiha? Because we know that Allah replies to it. I heard that Umar bin Abdul Aziz used to pause in between each ayat where Allah replies. Is it sunnah?
No, sunnah? You don't pause. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. How do you know that Allah finished replying? This is ghulu. So you just read. Just read. That's it. You don't pause. Just read ayah after ayah, ayah after ayah. And that's it.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, ya Sheikh. Ahsanallahu ilaykum fi dunya wa akhirah. We are in a Muslim country, and are we supposed to still check the ingredients for the medicine that is given by the doctor, particularly
yes,
when we're hospitalized?
Yes, yes, yes. How many yes should I say? Isn't it a lot of issues from time to time, the government discovering that people are cheating the community, and we see in the media, we hear a lot. Yeah. That's why don't be deceived by any halal written on the thing. Read and see the ingredient. You get the idea? Because sometimes those people who are saying halal, they don't even know what halal means. After the Australian fish, I think no more trust, right? Yeah, on the fish, the box, they said Zubiha ala tariqa al-islamiyya. You know, don't forget fish. Do we slaughter ikan? But they said this fish is Zubiha ala tariqa al-islamiyya. It's slaughtered using the Islamic way. Yeah, so somebody says, that means these guys, they don't even know what exactly halal and haram is all about. Yeah. So you check the ingredient. Anything that is written halal, yes, alhamdulillah, we have one step. You know, one step. Yeah. Sometimes kuffar also, they will be halal, certified business. Yeah, we ask one of them, they say we even have halal pork. I still remember that. So we have halal pork, you know. But they're honest, you know. Yeah. Because you don't have the authority, you don't have cameras in the places where they do the things. Yeah. And mostly they're honest. They write to you what they do. Yeah. So you check that one. If you find it halal, then you use it. If not, then stay away from it. Then سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم